he wants us to get this. And he wants us to get it. I don't want to say in the worst way, but he strongly wants us to get it. Because stuff comes and stuff is coming and stuff is right up in your face. And we need to have the revelation as to how great is our God. See, I said we need the revelation of it. It's not enough to know it. We need to have the revelation that our God is great. We jumping right in. Go to Daniel 3. If you need a title, it's Who is That God?
Hallelujah.
We're going to find out that that's more than just a question. So we're going to take a little stroll down Daniel 3 and show you, I'm going to show you just what he showed me. I'm going to start, I believe I'm starting at verse 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Folks, that's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide was this idol, this statue. And he set it up in the plain of Dor in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the who set this up? Okay. And last time I checked, he was human, right? Okay, just want to make sure. Okay. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, all those folks, okay, they were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded." All right? You know what a herald is? All right? It's a spokesperson. And he said to everybody there, he didn't say, "If you want to." He said, "To you, this is what? Commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that the king has set up." Now he's saying this to everybody, bond or free, this was the new law. I'm going to present you with a circumstance, and you're going to bow down and worship it. Period. Okay? You said, it didn't say circumstance. No, I said circumstance, because it was no different. He's saying, you're going to march to my music. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You talk about a control freak, okay? He's saying you will do what I say when I say, or you dead. Period. There was nothing to discuss. He didn't say any questions. He said, this is it. This is it. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, let me ask you a question. Where was the nation of Israel at that time? They were in captivity. Where? In Babylon. In Babylon. Is it safe to say that they were in the same situation as everybody else? Well, so they're in the middle of a circumstance, and they're presented with a choice whether or not they're going to worship the circumstance or die. But now I got to remember something. They were still covenant people. Even in captivity, they were still covenant people. And I don't recall, maybe some of you have, but I don't recall Nebuchadnezzar ever being circumcised. So really, he was no different than Goliath. He was an uncircumcised circumstance dictating to God's people who they gonna worship. Sounds a whole lot like this 21st century reality that we're in right now, where we have folks that are not in covenant with God dictating what the church is going to do, dictating what the church is going to say, dictating how the church is going to act, and threatening. And we bow down. When they say jump, it's like when Pastor Jesse says, everybody jump. We start jumping. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't remember my circumstance being circumcised. Okay, all right. But see, even though they were covenant people, they could not see past the perceived power of the circumstance. Why? They didn't yet have the revelation as to how great is their God. Didn't have it. Didn't have it. Circumstances always present themselves as being invincible. I mean, come on, people do that. We call it posturing. We call it trying to take someone's heart away. Sports, they call it trash talking. What's it designed to do? Get your focus off of what you should be doing and onto what they're saying that they're going to do to you. And the minute you do that, you're bowing down to their music. You're bowing down to it. I'm not going to leave you here, you know, but this is a little GPS, because we need to know where we are as a people. Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, all that music, and shall fall down or be thrown into the fiery furnace. But then they said, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hadst set up. And so I wondered, well, first of all, did they hear the command? Yes. Remember, it started out, he sent for all the governors of all the provinces. So they were there. And interestingly enough, they make a big deal about it. They didn't look in the king's face and say, you got to be kidding. They went back to their province and they did what they did. They worshiped God, and they had to do it openly because the folks saw them. But see, there's something about those three. Just like Pastor Sarah was sharing this morning, there was something about David. Those three young men had already proven that they had the revelation as to who their God was. Because when they tried to force them to eat food that was against their covenant, they said no. They didn't only say no, they said, let us eat what we're supposed to. I'm paraphrasing. Let us eat what we're supposed to and then check us out after 10 days. And if you don't think we're better, we'll eat your food. And at 10 days, they were found better, healthier than everybody else. Why? They knew how great their God is, And they weren't ashamed or embarrassed to put that to the test. Not the test for them, but for the other folks to see. So the other folks have to say with their mouths, your God is greater. Your God is stronger. They already knew it. These young men, separated from their parents, forced to learn the customs of their captors, forced to learn the language of their captors, then they even changed their names. See, folks, we need to understand something. Circumstance may change your name, but it can't change your heart. If your heart is fixed, if you have the revelation as to who you truly are in Christ, it doesn't matter what anyone calls you or says about you, because you know who you are. And no matter what anyone says, you're going to act like you know who you are. Okay? You got that? Don't let anyone take your heart away. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake to them and said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, okay, so if after you think about this thing now, understanding who I am, understanding what I have the power to do to you, okay, having a full understanding of all of those things, I'm going to play the music, okay, and you fall down and worship, everything's going to be fine, okay? But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You talk about indignant, and he didn't say this as calmly as I said it. He was in a rage. You know, I'm not proud of this, but we thought about, Dean Phillips and I, we thought about starting a new tradition. Since everybody was coming down to our place Thanksgiving, we figured the day after Thanksgiving, we'd take all the children to Liberty Science Center. And it was cold, and one of my grandsons, Charlie, he wanted to take his jacket off. He's a big, tough guy, you know. And I said, no, Charlie, you have to leave your jacket on. Once we get inside, you could take it off. I don't want to wear my jacket. I want to take it off now. And I did. We spent, because I'll take as much time as necessary. And so we're sitting in the parking space at Liberty Science Center for over 15 minutes. And I'm trying to get him to get the revelation that he needs to keep his jacket on. And then he finally said, okay, Grandpa, I understand. I said, you got it? Yeah, okay, we get out the car. We get out the car. He starts, I want to take off my jacket. Hold your ears. Because I went, I said, inside the car. There were other grandchildren in the car. Deacon Phyllis was in the car. And what's that thing you say? You can hear a mouse licking cotton? Whatever. Oh. A rat licking cotton. A rat licking ice. That's how quiet it got in the car. And everybody was stunned. Last summer, my granddaughter said, Grandpa, yeah, remember when we went to Liberty Science Center? I said, yes. She said, your voice was loud in the car. And again, I'm like, loud when? She said, when Charlie wouldn't put on his jacket. Okay. All right. So Nebuchadnezzar speaking out in a rage, when you speak in a rage like that, it has an effect on people. And it was supposed, it's designed to intimidate. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted to intimidate Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So not only was he in a rage, in a sense, he cursed their God. Who is this God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? You must not know who I am. He said, if ye worship not, the same hour you're going to be cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God? Folks, think about what you're going through right now. What's troubling you right now. The mess that you're in right now. That thing is screaming in your face saying, who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? So he's not saying, yes, it is. How can I say that? Because you're thinking about it. You're troubled by it. Some of you even sitting right in here right now, you got stuff on your mind that you're wondering, how's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? I don't know how I'm going to get through. Are they going to take an offering tonight? I don't know if I'm going to have the money to do this. All this stuff is going through your minds, and the thought is trying to come in. Remember who your God is. Remember who your God is. But we are focused so on the perceived power of a circumstance, a situation, that we forget we don't get the revelation as to who God is. You're saying, why do I keep saying this? I'm going to tell you that in a few minutes, why I say that. Because I don't ever recall backing down from a challenge. I mean, I had to do some things so that I faced it on my terms, okay? But I never backed down from it. And I've told you this a number of times. If you threatened me, said, I'm going to see you after school, I jumped in your face right there. I'm not thinking about this all day. I'm not. I got math. I got social studies. I got all. No, we're going to do this thing right here, right now. Okay? My terms. Okay? But what's interesting is I looked that up in other translations. And who is that God? It says, one translation says, what God will rescue you from my power? Another translation says, do you think there's any God that can save you? See, don't get upset when the circumstance asks you those questions. Just have the right answer. That's all. Just have the right answer. Folks, circumstances have not only come, they've sent for reinforcements. Because they've heard the words spoken over this place. Now their job is to get you to believe that it can't happen. That's what their job is. So they're going to come up with stuff. That's why, Pastor, we are going ahead with the upgrades to the sound system, whether anybody gives toward it or not. Why? Because God said do it. And what he authorizes, he supports. He just wants to give an opportunity for all of you to get in on it. So that when he pours out the blessing on this house for being obedient, those that were part of that obedience, he's going to pour it out on you too. Don't let the enemy talk you out of getting your blessing just because you can't see past it. You don't have to see past it, see through it. That's all. God never promised that we would never go through, we would never have any circumstances. He never promised that. As a matter of fact, he assured us that we would have them. But he said, don't be concerned about them because Jesus has already overcome the world. And one translation says, I've taken away its power to harm you. See, we have to remember whose we are. We have to know who's our daddy. And we have to know it without a paternity test from the Maury Show. We need to understand who our daddy is, period. Go quickly to Matthew. I need you to see this. Because that was a question. Even though it wasn't presented as a question, that was a question. It was one of those questions that he felt that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't be able to answer. And he expected to see them to start bowing. In Matthew 16, verse 13, When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Who did he ask? Okay. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. I thought it was interesting. Jesus never said, what? That's what they think of me? No, he asked them something that was even more important. He said, who do you say that I am? Same question, just spoken a little differently. Who is that God? Who do you say that I am? Who is that God that will deliver you? Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? That's the question. That's what the program is, $64,000 question or whatever it is. That's the question. Who do you say that I am? See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a position where their lives were on the line based on what they were about to say. Not based on what the people said, not based on what the other nations said, not based on what the other languages said. The question, the circumstance was posed directly to them. Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? You say, whom do you say? Not who do you think? Not what do you believe? Who do you say that I am? Because if you can't say that I am, you won't be able to face any circumstance that comes up and ask you who I am. Interestingly enough, the only one that answered was Peter. He's the only one. He said, you are the Messiah. Some translation, King James says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to Jesus' reply. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. He's revealed it. He gave you a revelation as to who I am. And because you said it, now I can tell you what it means. It's not enough, folks, to just know. You have to have the revelation. Because you won't be able to apply what you know until you get the revelation about what you know. See, how many of you have learned that 2 + 2 = 4? Right? Say amen if you know that. Okay. I don't know if that was everybody, but I'll say that it is. Okay. And so that's fine. If someone came to you and said, what's 2 + 2? You'd say, okay. But what happens is circumstances come, they say, you're with John and your friends John and Sally. John has 8 apples, Sally has 4 apples. You don't have any apples, but you want to have 4 apples. Sally says, I'll give you 2. So she gives you 2 apples. How many apples does John have to give you? So, and you start saying, let's see, I before E, oh no, that's spelling. If you have to have the revelation of 2 + 2 = 4, because then no matter how complicated it may seem, it all boils down to simple fact, 2 + 2 = 4. And you can solve any equation as long as you've gotten the revelation of the principles. So heaven had to give Peter the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And Peter had to say it. And once he said it, Jesus gave him some further information. On this revelation, I'm building my church. The revelation you got that I am the Christ, that revelation made you a rock. And I'm building my church. And the gates of hell, matter of fact, this translation says, all the powers of hell will not be able to conquer it. Period. It didn't say unless. There were no conditions. None. You have the revelation that you are the church, the gates of hell will not conquer you. Period. Doesn't matter how it comes. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it boasts. Doesn't matter how loud it gets. The revelation doesn't change. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Does that mean you're never going to go through a challenge? No, it means you're always going to go through the challenge. But there isn't no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That furnace was formed against them. And Nebuchadnezzar thought that it would prosper. But he was wrong. Nebuchadnezzar spake, back in Daniel 3, and he said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, at the time when I play my music, you fall down and worship the image which I made? Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? But as I said a number of times, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already had the revelation as to who their God is. And so they knew how to answer the king. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Okay, you may not quite understand what that means said that way, but this is what some other translations say. Your question does not require an answer from us. O king, we don't need to defend ourselves to you. Listen to this one. We are not worried about what will happen to us. And I really like this last one. O king, we don't have to talk about this anymore. If it be so, if you do what you say you're going to do, our God, and here's the key, folks, whom we serve. Very similar to when Daniel was throwing the lions down. He said, the God whom you continually serve, did he save you? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But you know something, king? Regardless of that, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He said, let me make this perfectly clear. Okay? You got to hear how the Message Bible says this. I really like this one. I really like this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "Your threats mean nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up." Folks, we need to know that, because that tells us a couple of things. This is what God told me. He said, he, your God, when you take a stand based on the word, there may be repercussions. Point two, your God will take care of them also. Okay. No matter what happens, your God will not only take care of your current circumstance, but anything else that the devil can cook up. He has already provided. We have to get that revelation, so when the enemy comes screaming in our face, "Who is that God?" we have an answer. And as I said earlier, when did King Nebuchadnezzar get circumcised? Where is it written that he was in, had a covenant relationship with God? He didn't, but the three Hebrew boys did. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. I mean, he even looked differently. He was so angry. And he had the furnace heated seven times hotter. You know the story, to the point where the guards, his soldiers, that took them to the furnace burned up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. But every single guard that took them to the furnace got burned to death. But they fell into the midst of the burning, the fiery furnace, bound, tied up. I mean, it didn't really matter. What are you going to do? You get thrown in the furnace anyway. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, and spake to his counselors. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, "True." He said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." No hurt, no sign on them. Now, mind you, they are in the fire. Walking like I'm walking through the midst of these plants. Seeing the plants touch them and having no effect on them. They had the revelation as to who their God is. They had the revelation. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. And guess what? He wasn't consumed. And I asked God about that last night. I said, how come the fire didn't get him? God said it was his mercy that the flames didn't consume him, because there was another statement that he had to make. He had to, in a sense, retract the words that he had spoken previously concerning God. In other words, God said he needed the same one who proclaimed, "Who is that God who will deliver you out of my hand," to give the people an answer. Okay. What does that mean? He's going to make your circumstance bow down and worship him. Okay. God's going to make your circumstance bow down and worship him if you get the revelation as to who your God really is. And it won't matter what comes. It won't matter. They'll have to, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, not some 90 feet by 9 feet statue, is Lord. However the statue comes, seems these days that his favorite way of sending it is through sickness. And we don't study and get the revelation of the word. we get the revelation about the sickness. And let that dilute the word that we have. Because we wind up focusing on what this thing does. I know what I'm talking about because I did it for too many years concerning blood pressure. I had read so much about it, I became afraid of it. So when you see 220 over 150, you have a fit. Because you don't have the revelation as to who God is. You have the revelation of all these people that checked out before their time with numbers lower than that. Okay? And the enemy is screaming, yeah, who's that God now? So I mess with you. By stripes you're healed, right? You don't feel healed now, do you, boss? I mean, that's what he does. And you're there crying, God, why is it happening? I can't take this. I can't take this. But then he pushed me too far. He pushed me too far. He said, see, you need to forget about that church stuff. Excuse me? Whoa. What? And then doctors came in and said, no, you're going to have to be here another week. I'm like, family day is Saturday. It's our first family day. Oh, no, something happened. All of a sudden, I got the revelation. Right there at Nyack Hospital. And still, they're coming to take a reading, and it's got high numbers. Doesn't matter now, because I got the revelation. And it's firmly entrenched. Now I'm beating on the mattress, cursing this thing and telling that attendant, I'm screaming at my blood pressure, and nurse is coming in, calm down. I'm saying, I am calm. I am. But I'll tell you what, 2 days later, I was home and in family day. That happened on a Thursday. Saturday was family day. I checked out Saturday and we drove right up to the Poconos. Done. Haven't been hospitalized because of it since and ain't gonna be. Has it since then? Tried to scam me with some high numbers? Yes, it has. What did I do? Reminded it who my God is. My doc said, I don't want you going to the emergency room. I said, you don't have to worry. They've seen me enough. I've seen the inside of an ambulance 13 times. That's enough. That's enough everybody's lifetime. Okay. Why? I got the revelation. So Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Wait a minute. How do we go from who is that God to your servants of the Most High God? But you know what was even cooler than that? They didn't come out of the fire until the one that put them in called them out. They were just in there having a good time, just fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm not going to do it tonight, but they were doing the Can't Touch Me dance. Don't go near that keyboard. That's it, like a rap to the fire. I can't touch this. Okay. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out. And the princes and governors and captains, all those folks that dropped a dime on them, they gathered together and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. See, folks, it's not that the circumstances you face don't have power. They just don't have power over you. And that's the revelation we need to have. Yes, there's power. Yes. People have been taken out because of high blood pressure. Doesn't have power over me. Period. Cancer has taken some folks out. Doesn't have power over you. It's not taking you out. Folks get lumps in their breasts and they say it turns into breast cancer. Doesn't have power over you. As long as you have the revelation. You know Jesus is the Christ. I be the church. All the power of hell can't conquer me. And the Bible says clearly, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, wherein there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Last time I checked, cancer was not a good thing. So that means it didn't come from your father. So if it didn't come from your father, where'd it come from? Hell. Who can't conquer you? Who can't conquer you? But this is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Blessed, the same one that wanted to know, who is that God that will deliver you out of my hands? And God's servants held true to who they were. And because of that, the circumstance had to say, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that, here we go, folks, trusted in him and have changed the king's word. They trusted in him regardless of the circumstance. They trusted in him and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. They had to yield their bodies. They had to be willing to go through the furnace, confident that they were going through. But the king wasn't finished. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Why? Because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. He answered his own question, Deacon Kevin. Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? Blessed be your God. No other God. No other God can deliver after this sort. I need to show you one other thing, then I'm going to stop. See, when a circumstance comes and says to you, who is that God? You know how you answer him? You respond by saying exactly what he said, only a little differently. You may want to go to. When it comes, lack comes. Lack comes. You ain't got no money. You're going to be evicted. They're going to repossess your car, your furniture. They're going to put a lien so they can take any money that you might make in the next 10 years. They're going to take it from you. And who is that God that's going to deliver you from this? My God, who is the one that said he shall provide for my every need. He said, who is? No, my God, who is faithful. My God, who loves me with an everlasting love. My God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. My God, by the way, who is the one that went into your home and kicked your natural behind, okay? My God, who is? My God, who is? My God. Who is? You put in the word after who is, in whatever that circumstance is, knowing that my God is the one who will deliver me out of your hands. Why? Because he promised me. He promised me. And because he promised me, I don't fret. Because I know who my God is. I got the revelation. So I don't care about the fires. I don't care about the mountain. Anything that comes ain't circumcised, I don't care. It's not in covenant with God. But you are. You are. Say, God, who is my rock? God, who is my fortress? God, who is my savior? God, who is my deliverer? He's the one that will deliver me out of your hand every single time. Do you believe that? Then give him a praise like you're crazy about him.